Aline Chaplik-Alesko not only has a very cool husband who I've known for many, many years, she has had one of the most, I think, interesting careers of any woman in Chicago. She was Chicago's first female television general manager. She's been a professor. She is now a compelling memoirist. Is that a title that suits you, Aline?
Absolutely so. The genre of memoir is one that I just had an affinity for automatically.
You wrote, and I'm remembering, seeing how good my memory is, you wrote as a kid a lot, didn't you?
You have an excellent memory. Yes, when I was talking about my book when I was here.
Yeah.
Yes. And when I was a kid, I did write a lot, but kept it for myself, privately.
Was it a diary kind of form? What was it? Because I'm always interested in what compels people, because I think the need for self-expression is one that is inherent in everybody, from the guys who put paintings on cave walls to today.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Stories probably are the earliest form of communication.
Sure, sure.
And for me, it was poetic prose. I would write my feelings and just looking at the world around me. And when I actually left teaching before I retired from Wright College, Richard said, "You better have a plan. Is there anything you've always wanted to do?"
You had given up. You had given up this kind of...
I didn't have time for it, really.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And you came to it. When you came back to it, it kind of just, maybe it was the influence of the great Richard Alesko and having a great marriage, but it just seemed to explode out of you like it had been waiting to happen, yes?
Rick, absolutely so. I mean, Richard would get up at 2 in the morning and say, "Hey,
what are you doing? Where's my wife?
Why aren't you sleeping? Why are you up?" And I said, "It's just pouring out of me. I have to write. And day and night I did this. It was great fun.
What did you start writing when that happened? What kind of things were these that you sat down to write?
These were memoir memories. And the first story that I wrote was about my family, whom I lost in plane crashes.
Yeah, you had. Can we talk about that for a second? Because you did have, it's almost spooky, and again, I'm trusting my own memory for this, but plane crashes were kind of this tragic leitmotif of your life. You lost first your grandmother, was it?
Yes, a memory. Wow.
And you can absolutely tell me, Rick, no, that's not right.
No,
your memory's wrong,
right.
But it was, because I remember this distinctly because I was so stunned by it. So what happened?
I lost my grandma in a commercial plane crash in 1963, and she was coming back from Florida, and this was Northwest Orient at the time.
Yeah, sure.
And they were the only ones who took off that day, and they were up like 7 minutes and hit a squall, and the plane just burst apart, and they crashed in the Florida Everglades. So I was 18 at the time and about to graduate high school. And then 11 years later, we lost my father and my youngest sister, Ivy, in another plane crash. And I was determined to write about their legacies, to create their legacies through their lives and who they were. And to this day, people write me and say, "It was wonderful meeting Ivy, to get to know her."
Sure.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to keep them alive on some level.
Were you at all... I mean, obviously, those kind of deaths would shadow you. Were you haunted by them? Is that a word that would apply here?
You know, that's a very, very interesting question. I would not say haunted. I would say inspired. That's really what happened.
Yeah.
I had this feeling that I had to live my life for them as well. And whatever I did was for them, because they didn't have a chance to do it in certain things.
And then you also, though, felt the need to tell others about these people who,
I did.
You know, I'm sure you would have told Richard and your friends and your other family members about this, but it was your desire to sort of give these stories to the world.
Yes, and that was a way of keeping them with us all these years, although they did a great job on their own as well. I mean, Ivy's friends talk about her to this day as walking with them, and they lost her at 16, and they just turned 60.
Wow.
But, I mean, to hear them speak of her is astounding. So she left heart prints that were unforgettable.
Yeah.
And my father was a very unique, gifted man. And so the memories of my dad are with many people also.
Sure.
But I wanted to make sure, because you are the gifted one of words, so you know this immortalizes. And I wanted to immortalize them, and I did it through memoir.
Well, two of Eileen's most recent pieces are collected in a soon-to-be-released, actually, this Tuesday, Chicken Soup for the Soul book, this one called, and boy, you couldn't get more timely than this, The Empowered Woman, 101 Stories About Being Confident, Courageous, and Your True Self, obviously put together a bit before the Me Too movement and the Bill Cosby verdict. We will continue on with Eileen Chaplik-Alesko. We will talk more about her writing, what it means to write memoirs, how you... The necessary element of all memoirs, to my mind, is to be honest with yourself and thereby with your readers. We'll be back in a couple minutes. I am back with Eileen Chaplik-Alesko talking about her two pieces, memoir pieces, in the latest edition of Chicken Soup for the Soul, this one called The Empowered Woman. Did they come to you? I mean, you have been anthologized a number of times because your writing is so good. Do they come to you? Do they approach you and say, hey, got a memoir for us? How does that work?
Some come to me, and others I go to them. And yeah. Chicken Soup has a website for anyone out there who wants to write memoir, and it seems a lot of people do.
Oh, no kidding.
You should go to the Chicken Soup website. There are a number of book titles, and if anything interests you, go ahead and submit. And then, from what I understand, Chicken Soup eventually looks at what submissions they've received and they make their decision at that point as to whether the book will actually become a book.
Wow. So were you thrilled? You obviously went to the website and you had...
Right. I'm in 10. I have 10 books I'm in. So at this point of theirs, and every one I'm thrilled. Whenever I'm accepted, I'm thrilled.
But do you already have? I have the feeling that you write a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have these pieces sort of sitting in a pile at home, and you go, oh, look, they're doing one about the empowered women. I have one that fits that perfectly. Or do you tailor your writing to the topics that they're asking about?
That's a great question, and the answer is right in the middle.
Yeah.
In this particular situation, one I had done, and then there was a new one I wrote based on this topic. So
one of yours, I'm going to ask you, I think, after the news, so stay tuned. After the news at 9:30, this young woman is going to read live one of the charming pieces in here. The other one is titled The First Female, and it is about you becoming the first female general manager of a television station, WYCC Channel 20, and what that kind of entailed. It's at once very, I sense your empowerment. It's also quite funny. I mean, it's also quite funny and very self-effacing, especially the end. That was such an unusual move at the time to make a woman, and that's a man's business, as you well know. Did you run into, in those times and later your time at Wright College, any kind of boorish behavior on the part of male superiors?
Not when I was teaching at Wright.
Okay.
But when I was given this opportunity by Chancellor Oscar Shavit,
sure,
who founded the City Colleges.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant, inspirational man, and he called me into his office and he said, Eileen, we have an opportunity here. We just purchased the license for WYCC. No, it was WTT.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
at
right,
that time.
Right.
So for Channel 20, and we would XXW, and we would like to get this on the air, and I'd like you to do this for us.
And you were not at all. You were excited. You know, the normal reaction, I think, for someone who had not been in television for their career would be, oh, my God, what are you kidding? I don't know how to do this. On the other hand, were excited.
Both are true again.
Yeah.
I was very excited and terrified.
Sure.
And so I said, Chancellor, what's our time frame here? And he told me, we shook hands. I said, it will be done. I walked out of his office, leaned against a wall. I remember this thinking,
fainted. Yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah, yeah.
But I am highly organized, and I called friends and acquaintances in the business, asked my questions, and this happened.
Yeah.
And to answer your original question on this, I ran into many, many men. This was their realm, as they saw it.
Oh, they must have been so jealous.
At the city colleges, they did not want me to succeed.
Yeah.
And we did. My young staff and I made this happen. But there were many, many problems along the way with people who were trying to get in our way. And it's just something I was able to handle. I think in part, I have never looked at gender as a block to anything.
Yeah.
Aline Chaplick Alesco, and at that time it was Aline Chaplick, and I just took whatever strength I had and made this happen.
Well, it's a wonderful, I mean, it took me back, and you have a great quote from Margaret Thatcher to begin that section that is in Chicken Soup for the Souls.
This was Chicken Soup's quote. Woman. They put it in. Right?
Oh, they put it in?
They put on all the quotes.
Do they really?
Yes.
They
yes.
pick well. This one is...
Isn't it wonderful?
If you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman, Margaret Thatcher. That is one you should read in this book. It's 101 stories, two of them by Aline Chaplick Alesco. She's going to read... Because you also, in writing, your writing is very fluid, and you have started sort of performing, have you not, reading in public, which is an art form in itself. If those of you who've gone to libraries or other venues to hear authors read their stuff, you know a good one from a bad one almost immediately. You enjoy that, don't you, Aline?
I do. I do. I enjoy connecting with my audience through performance, and it's a very interesting thing. In my particular book of my stories that I published, My Gift of Now, I also did an audio book, and it was a very strange sensation. I told Richard I was listening to myself read these stories thinking, oh, these are interesting. It was as though I had not written them.
Out of body experience.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I was an audience member for myself.
Now, do you have your own website? You should.
I should. I do most of this on Facebook, and I do it publicly so people can come in. But I know I should do that.
Ben will provide a Facebook link for you on the side of this show.
Okay.
Ben Anderson is producing tonight and has been producing for weeks now. We got a couple of minutes before the news. How easy... You sat down, and there was an explosion, a volcano of words, when you finally decided you had quit teaching, and this came. How easily do these come to you?
They come to me pretty easily.
Yeah.
I have to honestly say,
sure,
they just come to me.
Yeah.
When Chicken Soup came out with this title, I was, as you said, it was the timeliness of it. I was ecstatic, and I wrote a short little piece about my thoughts about empowerment. And do we have time for me to maybe just read some
sure,
of that?
Sure.
Okay. Before I did the story itself. This book from Chicken Soup for the Soul is so timely. Empowerment requires support from others. For a woman who feels invisible, no matter what reason or fear, invisibility is no longer an option. Each woman has a voice that must be empowered by crafting a determined self that she nourishes emotionally and physically, and then gives her insights and strength to the women and girls, men and boys in her life and beyond, wherever she perceives the need for focus, empathy, and implementation of hope. I believe empowered women and empowered men must coexist in crafting the best humanity that can formulate any life or industry. In building WYCC Channel 20 in 1983, I worked with two empowered men, but the rest were part of an old boys club, much like what still exists today.
Kidding.
These men were threatened by a female being in a role they considered their realm, and they worked to undermine my mission. I did not allow them to do that. In my memoir, The First Female, I tell the story of this creation, and that's the story you were referring to in this book.
That's very nicely put. I hope everyone was listening to that and takes it to heart. We got to get some commercials, and we'll get some news, and then Eileen Chaplick-Alesko will read a charming piece from The Empowered Woman out this coming Tuesday. We'll be right back. That's Bonnie Kolak, because in Sunday's paper I wrote about what I can remember about 1968, and one of those memories was seeing Bonnie Kolak at the Earl of Old Town. Eileen Chaplick-Alesko has two pieces in the latest edition of Chicken Soup for the Soul, this one titled The Empowered Woman. I have put the arm on her to read one of them, so sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Thank you, Rick. Would you like to dance? I am waiting for the boy to ask me to dance. He is the best at doing the jitterbug. He doesn't ask. My feelings are determined by junior high school boys, and I am not popular. I will be in high school, but not now. My pride is in the hands of these boys. That dancer, the most popular boy in school, lives across the street. He is a basketball star, too, although he has not yet grown into a man's height. He tends to dance with the girls who will also kiss him. He knows how good-looking he is, even at 12. Many of my classmates are competing to dance with him, to be his girlfriend for a night, a week, a month. He is a sassy charmer. He knows he is number one. I am not one of the girls who want him, but I love to watch him dance. He is a great dancer who has impeccable rhythm and knows all the latest steps. He is dazzling on the dance floor. One day, I am 12, and the next, I am 63. The decades have brought me the marriage of my dreams, three incredible careers, and a life in which I have been myself. One of my greatest passions is dancing. My childhood girlfriend is coming into town to attend the 50th anniversary of our high school. She talks me into going. I am not sure why she has to talk me into attending, because I loved high school. I was president of my junior class and spent 4 years being part of many activities. I am not sure that this type of party, which is open to graduating classes spanning 50 years, will offer quality time to reminisce and visit. I receive some phone calls from old friends who have come to town. I decide to go. A small group of my classmates attend, maybe 15 or so. Most of these classmates were with me in junior high as well as high school. I am thrilled to see them. One man walks up to me and says my name. I struggle to recognize his face. He then says his name and smiles. It is the star dancer of my adolescence, my former neighbor, the jock of my preteen girlfriends lusted after. We catch up. As others arrive, I greet them, and I am greeted warmly. Everyone looks great. 63 never looked better. These are the people of my youth. Their place in my life is special. The memories we share are our beginning years. The band is getting ready to play the oldies. As the music begins, I walk toward the dance floor and turn. He catches my eye as I extend my hand toward him, motioning for him to join me on the dance floor. The best jitterbugger in sixth grade takes my hand, and we engage in a graceful and wild ride, singing the words to every song. He is still a great dancer. When our dance ends, I motion to another childhood friend, and then another. Each man joins me on the dance floor one at a time. I had never danced with any of them back in our school days. Now I am enjoying their individual style and movements. On that dance floor, they are meeting me for the first time. And it is I who has asked them. I chose and picked the men with whom I wanted to dance. One of my sisters is also there. When I talk to her at the end of the night, she tells me how wonderfully I danced and how exciting it was that all the boys, men, wanted to dance with me. I smile to myself. I will always love the girl who was 12 and watch the dancers, but a woman of 63 never felt better on the dance floor.
It's a lovely piece. That is among the 101 stories. I've not read this whole book, but I gotta believe that's the best, one of the best stories in Chicken Soup for the Souls, The Empowered Woman. That's a lovely, lovely piece. That must have been fun to write.
It was. It was fun to write.
What is next for you, Aline Chaplick-Alesko? I understand you're working on some piece, or there's a memoir that involves the guy, that handsome guy sitting near you, right?
Yes, this blue-eyed fellow right here. Richard, actually, the story has been accepted. It will be another Chicken Soup book, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Famous Dances? What's the title? What's the title of this one?
The Miracle of Love.
Wow.
And it's the story of middle age for Rich. My story of middle age.
You were both you were both in your 40s when you met, right? And you met on a dance floor?
I was in my 40s. Richard was almost in his 50s, but both in our 40s, yes.
Yeah. And
on a dance floor, yes.
And he was a great dancer? Was that it?
No. He wasn't a great dancer.
You took pity on him and wanted to help him learn to dance.
I was on the stage dancing, and the dancers parted, and I saw this man at the end of the room. I mean, like a football field away. And these eyes were just looking. I didn't think he was looking
at me. He's blushing. He's blushing in here, ladies and gentlemen. There's no question about it.
And then I realized he was looking at me, trying to make contact. And I motioned just a minute. And after the dance, I went up to him and we met and we started talking. We both went to Northwestern. We both were in television. One thing led to another. And
you guys,
this was it.
You guys make a great pair. You think, are you working on another collection of your own? You must be.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Maybe at some point.
That's what I really would like. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, as of Tuesday, you can go out and buy Chicken Soup for the Soul's latest gathering of stories. These are stories about being confident, courageous, and your true self. It is titled The Empowered Woman. It is a book for these times, and all royalties from the book go to Dress for Success, which is another amazing kind of thing. Aline, it is great to see you and Richard, and continue writing. You're a great writer.
Thank you, Rick.
And it's all, your writing rings so true. That's why, just in the way you read that story, you get it. You get it. And that that's terribly important in the memoir business, because there are a lot of people writing memoirs who shouldn't be writing memoirs.
You're one of my heroes. So coming from you, I thank you. A writer like few others.
I don't dance, but I don't dance.